Welcome to Uncomfortable, where real conversation meets unwavering faith. Hosted by Kirk and Vince, this podcast dives into the tough topics, the ones the church often avoids, the ones that make us wrestle with our faith, the ones that challenge us to grow. We're not here to stir up division. Our heart is to encourage, to uplift, and to press into the gospel with boldness. Because growth happens in discomfort. Faith deepens when we're willing to face the hard questions. So let's lean in. Let's explore. Let's learn. Let's walk this journey together. This is Uncomfortable. Ready to shake up the conversation? Let's get started. Welcome back to the show, everybody. I'm Kirk, joined by Vince, and we're going to kick it off today just talking about the last shows, the last several shows that we did. We had some very special guests with us over the last several episodes. We had Clayton, Steph, and Kenzie, and they're all from Christ for the Nations, and they're currently volunteering at Youth for the Nations. You know, and one of the things I wanted to say right out of the gate, Vince, is those are three incredible individuals. I mean,
oh yeah.
And of course, just as a disclaimer, everybody, I did not tell Vince what I'm about to say, so I'm catching him completely off guard.
Here we go.
So we might be making Vince uncomfortable. No, but Vince, from what I remember, these are some individuals that you've been mentoring for a while, right?
One of them definitely. The other one, kind of. The other two, kind of passively through like class and just conversations here and there. Yeah.
Okay. So the interesting thing to me is I did not see it coming at all when they came in. Number one, that they were going to be so grounded. I mean, because I remember there was when you go to Christ for the Nations, like any seminary, there's two different groups. You've got those that are on fire and completely in love with the Lord, but they definitely need some depth. And then you've got the other group that they're hurt and broken, but then they need some depth. But then you also have some that are hurt and broken that are healing, but the roots go real deep. And from what I'm seeing, these individuals will let the Holy Spirit heal if there's any hurt that's there, that he's been healing them. You know, and the only reason I even say it in the way I did is because of some things that they shared themselves on air with us. So whatever was there, the Lord's been healing it, and the depth is it's just so incredible. Listening to the maturity of these young adults and the heart that they have for the Father. It's absolutely incredible, and it's inspiring.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I was really excited to do those sessions with them, as well as just to see what would come out. And I tell you what, the really cool part is during the recordings, it challenged me. And I know that the Lord was speaking to me about some things too, just in my own life and decisions that I have made and am making and dealing with. And so it was really good. I really, really liked the entirety of it all. Their, not just their willingness to open up and share, but also to just not be afraid to step up and say, hey, I think we should talk about this, or maybe we should introduce this topic. So the fact that they
took a lot of initiative.
It took a lot of initiative and joined in on the creative process of, you know, where we're going to go, what we're going to do, how we're going to say it, and all of that. So it was really, really great.
Well, that's one thing I enjoy about our shows is we tend to have a little creative freedom in the way we flow. But watching them come in and get in and catch the vision that we have in fostering the correct identity in Christ and helping people to find truth in Scripture, that was just truly incredible for me. Now, let's go ahead and dig in a little bit. And I say that because I want to continue on some of the theme that we had when we had our guest with us.
Right.
And that's identity in Christ. But especially and specifically, guarding our Christ-given identity. Now, guys, this could possibly get quite uncomfortable as we have this discussion, because here's the real deal. Guarding your Christian identity that's given to you by Christ is more than just quoting Scripture. It's really living your Christ-given identity even when the world, your situation, and everything around you is trying to defame, change your mind, or rewrite the name that God gave you.
I'd say it's even walking out the Scripture, walking out the Word in your life.
There you go. I agree. Because we need to walk out the identity that God gave us. Let's think about, you know, Abraham and Sarah, right? They were given the promise of a son, Isaac. They did not immediately see Isaac come. They both got way beyond the age of having children by the time that God fulfilled the promise. But he made the declaration, "You will be the father of many nations," which meant that Sarah was going to be the mother of many nations. So we have to choose, regardless of our situation around us, the way things look around us, what are we going to declare over ourselves, and how are we going to live our life even when everyone around us tells us something different?
I mean, I would even say that we would be neglectful if we didn't kind of walk back through what we need to, like, what that entails. Like, you got to know who you are in Christ, right? Of course, the word in Corinthians says that Paul said that we're therefore a new creation, right? The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So in that case, you got to look at your identity and understand, okay, yes, there's things that the word says about who we are and all that. But what we can't do is continue to say, well, in my past, this is what I've always done. My past jobs, my past decisions, as if to say, there's no way I can shake that. And I say in a real practical kind of example way, it'd be like this. You spend years working at a bank. So you're a banker. And then you decide to go learn a whole new trade, go learn IT or something like that. Or learn, I don't know, how to be a welder. And now you become fluent in that. You're really, really good at that. You have the skills to be really good at it, but you keep struggling because all you keep saying is, well, I used to be a banker. So because I was a banker, I am not that great at being a welder. And I picked those two because there's such a stark contrast between the two of what they are, right? So, Raven Kirk, like what you're doing now, project manager. If you move into doing something else, and you always say, well, I'm just a project manager. That's all I've known how to do. Then you're right. That's all you'll ever be.
Oh, no, so
you can't let the past define you. You have to use it as a learning tool, right? When Christ comes into your heart and renews you, you are a new creation. Your past is not gone from your mind. But Jesus would prefer to use it to build your future instead of destroying your present.
Absolutely. I think too many times we get caught up in the past, just like you were talking about within our identity. You know, if we continuously, like in your analogy, continuously refer to ourselves in our past identity or our past occupation, we're never going to move into the thing that we're working into, because we're always making an excuse, even if we're doing a bang-up job. That's the reality. We could be doing a really great job, but we're so focused on the past that we can't see beyond it. And why do we need to help everything else around us, you know, come against the identity Christ has given us? As it is, the world wants to label us as by what we've done, by our past, even if we were not saved when we were in that past, if we were angry, broken, unworthy, if we went too far, if we were never enough, if we were a failure, whatever that thing was, an addict, a drunkard, you know, a prostitute, it doesn't matter what the person is or was, that's how the world likes to define them. But the reality is if God says, I'm pulling you out of this and I'm transforming you and I'm making you a new creation, and now your character and everything you live is reflecting that new nature, why allow the old self and the old ways to define you? I mean, we even see the way we do that in the Old Testament, and even some parts of the New Testament where we label people as, like, let's say, blind Bartimaeus.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Yep.
Or you look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That was their slave names. That was not their Hebrew names. That was the name that they were given by the captors in Babylon. So we don't, as a culture in the entire world, we tend to look at the past, the history. We try to define everything by that history. But the reality is we're supposed to have the same viewpoint that Christ does. We're supposed to look at it from the eternity viewpoint. So if I am now born again, I am now born through Christ again, right?
Yeah.
As a new creation, then from the throne of God, because I'm supposed to be sitting at his right hand, I'm looking back on my life from a seat of victory, knowing that I am victorious in Christ, no longer looking at myself as a failure, no longer looking at myself as one who's had anger issues or whatever that person was going through, right? You know, they should never look at themselves that way. They should look at themselves through the eyes of victory and say, wow, look at what the Lord has done. He has brought me from the filth and the mire, and he's brought me into this marvelous light. And look at the journey that he's taking me through. Even if you've not been there yet, guess what? You have victory in Christ, and your identity is seated at the right hand of God. It is not sitting in the muck that he's pulled you out of. So,
well, yeah, I mean, basically what, so in practical form, you know me, I like practicals. Everything that you just said is exactly lining up with what one of the things that we're supposed to do, and that is to regularly meditate on the scripture, especially in the realm of your identity in Christ and what the word and what God himself says about you, right? So, and how do you do that? I mean, you got to look it up. You got to pay attention to it. You know, it's funny. There's a lot of things that the world does that it's just a ripoff from what the word says, right? And what biblical principles are. There's this thing that some people do. They call them daily affirmations, right? And, you know, it makes me think back to when we were younger, Kirk, and we date ourselves a little bit.
SNL daily devotionals?
No. SNL used to do a silly thing about that. And this guy would sit there and look in a mirror and say a bunch of different things. And at the end, he'd say, I'm wonderful, I'm handsome, and goodness sake, or something like that, people like me, or something like that. I don't remember all the jazz. It's years
ago. That was when all the self-help started becoming real popular.
Right. Around the 90s somewhere, right? And so...
Maybe we should say popular again. It's just history.
Yeah.
It keeps happening.
Yeah. So I don't know. It just made me think of that. But the truth is, even now, I have stuff... posted in my bathroom that I look at on the regular. Not every, I don't say all of it all the time, but I say a lot of it. And it's a lot of it is just scripture. And I just affirm that stuff. You know, like, we're meant to walk in joy. We're meant to walk in love. And so to say something like, I am a genuine joy-filled man, meaning that I am working on being authentic. I am joy-filled, meaning I'm choosing joy, right? Man, absolutely. Meaning I'm an actual man and chasing after God. So, you know, different things like that. When you put the scripture up there, excuse me, sorry, and you make that affirmation in the morning, you're already laying out the battlefield for the day. The enemy's got his stuff he's trying to come against you on already, so you're already laying it out there. Like, this is the word. I'm putting the word before me before I leave the house. I'm putting the word on when I head to work. I'm putting the word on at work. I'm putting the word on at home, and I'm meditating on it, and I'm meditating on it. And anything that encourages that and builds that up, right? So, I mean, and that's kind of part of where reading your word every day kind of comes in. You know what I mean? So,
oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, right in that same line, in that same vein, is we have to remember that when we step into relationship with Christ Jesus, everything changes. The Word of God says that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old man has passed away, and behold, the new has come. So we have to remember that we've been transformed. And as we stay in the Word of God, our mind is renewed daily as we do those affirmations, I guess you could say, in the more, you know, modern way of thinking about it. But
yeah, it's just quoting the Word.
The reality is, in the Christian faith, we want to daily be in the Word. We're reaffirming ourselves. But the thing is, it's because we're wanting to be renewed by the Word of God. I'm going to tell you something that was interesting today. I mean, I was just not feeling it today. Man, I told you I stayed up really late editing some audio last night, and I had to go to the grocery store to pick some stuff up. Well, many of our listeners may know that my wife is from Latin America, and sometimes I'll listen to this stuff in Spanish just to try to help me with the language. Well, I kicked on before I started driving, of course, not while I was driving, but just before I kicked on the, you know, the music app, and it suggested, you know, a Spanish praise channel. And I'm like, well, I don't know that I'm feeling it, but yeah, let's hit it. I hit it. The song kicks on, and immediately I could feel the presence of God begin just to wash away all of the junk from the day. Because I knew what it was saying. I understand enough Spanish to where I got the gist of what was being praised to the Lord through the song. And I'm like, wow, this is what I needed today. I needed to get into a moment of prayer and praise to wash away the cares of the world, to wash away the cares of the day. And that's the thing. Many times we don't steal ourselves away from the busyness of life. We don't steal ourselves away from the distractions that are around us. We don't steal ourselves away from the constant noise and negativity. But we're supposed to be transformed. We're supposed to be renewed. But we keep putting in junk and expecting ourselves to run in high performance mode. What happens to a high performance vehicle when you put in, you know, the lowest octane gas in there? The thing runs like you put water in the engine just about.
Yeah,
you know, it's like if you get bad gas that has a little bit of water in it, that thing will start sputtering and start acting up like something's majorly wrong.
Yep.
A high-performance vehicle has to have high-octane fuel so that it'll run smoothly. And
so, Kirk, what I hear you saying is you're calling me a high-performance vehicle.
Well, you know, I call it like I see it. So, you know, but we've got to guard our identity, right? We've got to really be intentional with what we're putting in and the way that we're living our life. I remember, and I'm not going to name the celebrity by name because there's no reason to name drop on this, but anyone that knows the comment will know exactly what I'm talking about. But this particular celebrity made a comment, and it went crazy because it stirred up so much stink. And some people are trying to act like this girl is a snob. But she goes, I ate McDonald's the other day and it made me feel sick. And then she goes, I guess that's what happens when you put low quality fuel into a high quality machine. She went on to clarify it. She goes, I haven't eaten fast food, and I can't remember, it was like 15 or 20 years. So she'd only been eating very clean for a long time. And she was in a hurry one day. She goes, oh, I won't hurt anything. I'll just quickly grab a bite. She got sick.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing in our spiritual life. We've been renewed by the Word of God. Holy Spirit is renewed and rejuvenated and transformed us, right? If we keep trying to put in the same crap, the same junk food that we had when we were living for the flesh and living for the world, we're only going to make our spirit sick, because our spirit needs good food. It needs heavenly manna. It's almost like when Esther got selected to be a part of the beauty queen pageant, right, for the king. Mm-hmm. She was no longer fed from the peasant's food. She got fed from food from the king's table, because she was being prepared to be brought before the king.
Like a higher quality food.
Higher quality food. So it's the same thing. We have been given something new. We've been renewed. Our bodies are now, our spirits are expecting high quality sustenance to sustain us. And yet we keep trying to give it the garbage that's around us. And a lot of it is, let's just be real. Let's be uncomfortable. It's about convenience.
I was going to say not even that. Like sometimes it's not even just the wrong stuff. It's not enough.
There you go.
Sometimes it's not wrong stuff. Sometimes it's not enough of the right stuff. Like you think about, even if you are working on doing better, if you don't eat enough food during the day or get in enough sustenance during the day, whatever that may be, even water, it can mess you up. You can get sick. You could end up dehydrating. You can end up, what is it? I remember one time.
Well, let's just be real while you're gathering your thoughts. There's a difference in surviving and living well.
Hmm. I don't know. They were doing medical exams, right? And this one guy specifically was used to dealing with a lot of overweight people and all of that stuff like that. So he was talking about the different things he saw, and that then he started seeing like regular people and all that too. And what he noticed is that there were some people who were thin, who on the outside looked like they were healthy, they were doing well, that were worse than some of the ones who were carrying more weight.
Well, that happens.
And he called it they were malnutritioned. Even like there's some people that are really big that are still malnutritioned. And as far as like you'd have somebody like a skinny, they call them a skinny fat person, because they haven't taken good enough care of themselves.
Well, and even in the stuff I've been studying recently, they tell you don't look at someone's size to determine their fitness level.
That's true.
Because you can be thin and unfit and unhealthy.
Yep.
But you can be large and technically be healthy.
Which is so weird.
But it doesn't mean you're fit.
Yeah.
So
it just means you're healthier.
Right. It doesn't mean fitness and healthy aren't the same thing. And we mix them up a lot of times.
Yeah. They're not mutually exclusive or inclusive.
Yeah. Because
the right word is,
I mean, you can be a pretty large person and be physically fit and unhealthy.
What makes me think of about athletes, there's a lot of them that are basically machines.
Oh, absolutely.
They have extremely low percentage of body fat. They are just like raw, walking rocks. And if you were just to go by their height and weight, they would be considered obese.
Oh, absolutely. Well,
it's crazy.
I mean, there's a whole lot of factors that go into this. And if we're not careful, I'll go into a fitness thing, and this is more of a spiritual segment that we're doing today. So let's be careful. Otherwise we're going to cross a line that we don't need to here.
Right. Well, so let's do that. Let's head back over now. I'll bring us back to it, and I'll use that where we're going, where we were, to get us back where we're going. Just like trying to live a healthy life takes a regular routine, right? You have to have a daily routine. It's the same thing with walking out your identity in Christ. You have to have a routine that you do, because I don't care how secure you are, how much you know who you are in Christ, if you stop putting the word first, if you stop putting that out there all the time, and you keep listening to the junk that's out there that is surrounding you, it will lower and diminish who you are. Doesn't mean that you'll completely forget, but maybe, just maybe, it can wear you down enough that you start questioning.
Let's just be real. Even Christians, or people who call themselves Christians, deal with porn.
That's one of them, yeah.
Let's just get real uncomfortable. And the reality is, we're born again. We're sanctified. We're not supposed to let anything unholy touch the eyes that God has made holy.
Right.
But sometimes people give into their flesh and their yearnings and allow something that's unholy to cross their eyes. We need to become those that are so set on making sure that we're chasing the presence of God, that we run just like Jacob. I'm sorry, Joseph ran from Potiphar's wife.
He did.
I mean, he's like, I'm sure those teenage hormones were hitting hard, and she grabbed a hold of him and goes, man, this is one good-looking Hebrew man, and husband's gone, and he might have been, maybe he was on a trip, you know, and she was feeling it. You know, she got in the mood, and she was trying to get herself a little bit of something. And Joseph's like, this is danger, Will Robertson, danger. I'm running for the hills. You know what I'm saying? He was just like, I am out of here. And he was
Danger,
jetting like George Jetson.
wow, you just pulled out some references that some people would be like, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I know. But the reality is we've got to be so intentional that when things begin to tempt us, when they begin to spike that water, that we're ready to delete the app if we need to. That we're ready to take extreme measures to protect that what God gave us. Because if the identity that God gave us is robbed from us, we're never going to reach the destination that He's trying to take us to.
Well, and that's the reason. So that's the other reason why we keep both of us will advocate continually about staying in the Word, reading the Word, right? And this is a
Absolutely.
great. My pastor says this a lot too, and he says the Bible is like a mirror. And so when you're reading the Word, it's like a mirror being held up to you, to who you really are deep inside, and it shows those exposes, I should say, those areas that need to be exposed. And although it hurts and it's uncomfortable and we don't want them to be exposed, it's great that they're exposed because it's done from a place of love and it's done from a place of trying to heal us. And no matter what happens, no matter what the new trend is, no matter what the new things are, like, oh, well, we don't talk about this anymore at church. We don't talk about that. The Bible says this, and the Bible says this, and it is what it is, and it's always going to be there. And even for those of us who have walked with the Lord for a long time, especially those of us that have, if you sit down and read your word and you never get offended, I don't think you're reading the right scripture.
Hey, I agree with that 110%.
I still get offended by the word, by the true unadulterated preaching of the word, teaching of the word. And when I read the word, I still get offended by some of it. But it's a good thing because it challenges me to grow and to change, and not offended like, oh, I'm offended, I'm walking away from God. Not that kind of like it. It just irks my flesh. It irks that those mindsets that I've carried and have, and it challenges me to change and to grow and to be better.
Well, let's throw a quick challenge out. I think we should continue this conversation in our
Ooh,
next episode.
challenge.
So, but let's you and I have got a lot more notes that we could go through here, and but let's hold that for the next episode. But let's throw out a challenge. My challenge to the to everyone out today, our listeners, is for you to examine your life. Go to your quiet time, examine your heart, and say, Holy Spirit, reveal to me, is there an area in my life where I have allowed myself to become distracted within the identity that you gave me? Is there something in my life that I need to make adjustments in? And then give them some moments to speak to your heart. And then if you need prayer, reach out to us. uncomfortable@mooseministries.org. We would love to hear from you. You can also support us there at the gift page. Guys, we'll talk to you on the next episode because we're going to continue this conversation there. Stay uncomfortable, and we'll see you then.
See you next time.